Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members. And we'll bring you joy.
Welcome back to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter. And today's guest, Emiliano Martinez, born in Argentina, made famous by Arsenal. This is a guy whose overnight success has been 10 years in the making. 10 years full of confusion, determination, some heartbreak, a loan spell at Reading, a loan spell at Getafe. Arsenal didn't know the gem that they had. Signed as a teenager, he did a massive favour for his club, Independiente, in moving to Arsenal. But the story of the circumstances in which he grew up, the pretty extreme poverty which has helped shape him as a character, but has also bonded his extraordinary family together, that's worth listening to. He gave that emotional interview, didn't he, after winning the FA Cup, and I guess that made people more interested in him. We were already negotiating to get Emiliano on The Big Interview. When he did come on, it was from a very appealing-looking holiday in Portugal. There's a little bit of background noise, but it all adds to the character. In this interview, we're going to find out where those tears came from, what inspired them. Emiliano also breaks down brilliantly, in my view, the importance of modern sports psychology, using terms I hadn't heard before, but defining really clearly how it is that when his opportunity came to him these last few months, he took it so brilliantly. Part two is coming soon, but for now, may I introduce on The Big Interview, the mighty Emiliano Martinez.
Emiliano Martinez, welcome to The Big Interview. It's good to have you on as a guest. Normally, we like to talk about things that make our guests, their chests swell out or make them smile. But Emiliano, let's start with tears, because you know Britain well enough by now that we love people who fight. We do love winners, but if winners show their emotional side as well, then you're an honorary Brit for the rest of your life. Probably you're going to get a House of Lords entry. You're going to be Lord Martin. So tell us where the tears came from and why they came.
Obviously, I went through a lot through the youth. Obviously, when I left my hometown in Argentina, I was really young when I left my house, my home at the age of 12. Obviously, for a better life and for a dream. It was to play in Independiente, my club in Argentina. And at the age of 12, I started living on my own in Buenos Aires. It was like a hotel full of players from different parts of Argentina. Obviously, now my best friend is from there. But at the time, it was difficult to leave my brother and to leave my mom and dad. And at the age of 16, I was playing a tournament for Argentina under 17. And Arsenal obviously contact my club and they wanted me to do a trial for 1 week. Not a trial, it's just a confirmation that for Wenger to say yes and Jerry Payton, who was a goalkeeper coach at Arsenal at the time. And when I came back to Argentina, I wasn't really sure that I said to my agent, I don't really want to leave Argentina. I was too young. I was a teenager. Honestly, my mom and dad, my brother in the office of the chairman of Independiente said, look, we want to sell you because we need to finish the stadium. And my mom and my brother start crying. So like, my brother was 2 years older than me. Says, please don't go. You're too young. You're going to make it here in Independiente. And so financially, my dad was struggling. And I left. And honestly, after 10 years of fighting and going on loan and not having the opportunity in the club that I love and the club that I really wanted to succeed, at some point, I was like, I'm not going to make it here. And when I did, and I had a chance after 10 years, I took it. Those 12 or 11 games I play under Arteta in the Prem, and I won the FA Cup. It was like, it was emotional. It was a dream come true. Honestly, my dream was to be Arsenal number one and Argentinian number one, and that's why I said to my dad when I signed for Arsenal. Honestly, I done an interview straight after the game, and I remember my old. All the fight I done those 10 years and those tears, because I just, there was emotional tears after the game. I had some tears before because I didn't have my chance in the club. Because when I spoke with Chesney, he said, oh, congratulations, I knew you were going to make it. And it was a nice message that he sent me. And I said to him, look, everyone had a chance in the club. You had a chance, Fabianski had the chance, Almunia, even Manoni had 15 games. Arsenal. I never had it. I said, we came from the youth and everyone had a chance apart from me. So that's why it took me 10 years to finally have a chance, and I took it. And that's why I was emotional.
It's a beautiful thing, emotion. I mean that now, no joking. When great sportsmen and women are dedicated and they're skillful and they show the world their heart, I think it's a beautiful thing. And what people outside your circle didn't know is that by moving, you helped pay for the Libertadores de America. You helped pay for the Stadium of Independiente.
I dedicate my whole life for Arsenal, basically. From 16, 17 to 27, 28, I dedicate choose for Arsenal. Always my hard work was for Arsenal. So that's why it was emotional. I love this club, and I want to win a lot of things for Arsenal. And obviously, now when I get back, that's my first priority. Play as many games as I can to win more things for Arsenal. And I know that I can win more things with Arteta.
But let's stop for a second, because the interview on the pitch after winning the trophy was one thing. But I have to believe that the first moment that you can turn to your wife and pass her an FA Cup medal needs to be a beautiful moment in your life. I'd love to know also, did you do a Zoom call with all the family back home in Argentina and just showing them this little addition to the family?
Yeah, you know, it's a picture of me talking with my family on Wembley after the game. My wife called me in the dressing room. Honestly, it was very noisy, and she said, "Oh, please call your dad and your brother and your mum. That they all crying like your dad cannot talk. He's crying so much." And I said, "Okay, I go outside." Because in the dressing room was really noisy. And obviously when I called them, they were all crying, and they were crying so much that I obviously had some tears as well after the game, because the way they were crying. It was really a nice moment, to be honest. It's a moment that I will never forget.
In the game itself, was there any problem about crowding out, not emotion, but concentration? Or on the day, never mind the game, in the day, you... Nothing got in the way?
Nothing, because I knew exactly what I wanted. And obviously, I work on psychologies as well, on red and blue mind. And obviously, before the game, it was the game at 4 o'clock. And we had three circles with the psychologists of the club at 1 o'clock, the day of the game. And an hour and a half, the day before, just me and psychology to make sure I leave the red zone out of the game and concentrate on the blue side. It was winning the game, help the team to win, distribution, concentration, crosses, and obviously through games, the red zone goes on you. Like national team, we're losing the game, the FA Cup is going away, and it goes with you. But I think the the best sportsmen, they transform or they switch on quickly to the blue zone. And if you see our mentality at Arsenal, when we concede the goal, we straight start playing better. We straight and I did not have to do a save. I think after the goal, maybe one more save. But the whole game, I was on blue zone. And the second half, it was. I did not enjoy one moment because I was already focused. Even with down to 10 men, I knew Oli Giroud is one of the best header inside the box in the league. So you see, I take 3-4 crosses in the second half. The distribution was good. It's something that really worked in my game, the mental side.
You can tell by looking at me, it's too late for me to win an FA Cup medal. But it's never too late to learn. So I'm a reasonably educated guy. And Neil was nodding in the background there. I didn't know about blue zone, red zone. Do I interpret it correctly that the red zone is the
negative side?
Negative because you're flashing onto things that don't matter? Because if you're thinking about the selección, that's not negative in itself, but it's negative in the moment because it can distract you from your performance. Is that fair? Is that right?
It distracts you from the game because you cannot think about new contract. You cannot think about national team. You cannot think another club. You cannot think the next game if you're not concentrating in the crosses or in the shot from outside the box or in the distribution. You need to concentrate on the moment. And that's something I learned over the years. And I'm glad because before when I was younger, I thought psychology is just for crazy people. And it's wrong. Psychology is to help you concentrate and mature on the pitch, off the pitch as well. And it's something that I wish I'd done a long time ago. But I do it now. And when I do it, I feel, mate, I'm ready to do everything in every moment. And then just focus in the game. And it's something when I concede the goal here in Chelsea, it goes through the head, oh, we're losing, FA Cup, medal, trophy. But then I quickly switch on and say, okay, we're going to do it. Concentrate on the next ball. Make sure you don't concede again. And that's something really good and really clever to work on as well.
I'm here to tell you about another podcast. Yes, we believe in biodiversity. It's from the makers of The Big Interview, and it's called Between the Lines, the stories behind great sports writing. Every episode takes a classic sports book or outstanding piece of sports writing and examines how the writer crafted their story. This is a weekly show, and the series so far has featured documentaries on The Miracle of Castel di Sangro and Andrea Pirlo's autobiography, I Think, Therefore I Play. There's also interviews with writers like Henry Winter, Simon Cooper, Andy Mitten, and David Goldblatt. This is Tim Parks on his classic tome, A Season with Verona.
The Bishop of Verona invited the citizens of Verona to burn the book because I'd put all the blasphemies in it. So that was obviously good for sales. You know, I was very, very pleased about that. I wish they'd done it. It would have been a happy memory. On the Cordoba, I would go to games. There would be loads of kids coming up to me saying, you know, I've never read a book before, but I really enjoyed this.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Is it a little bit like you listen to top tennis players, top golf players talking about muscle memory? You can make the mind a muscle and remind it that it must contract and do the right things. If something goes against you or if a difficult thought comes in, your mind can punch it away because your memory is not now. That's the wrong thought.
Yeah. The mind controls your body. I have friends in Argentina that they play as like Messi, but the mental side, it took them to another path. And I learned over the years, because I came from poor family. I came from and now everything think, oh, you rich, and now you got everything, and it's easy. And it's not. And it's so hard to be at the top. Obviously, now you think, you want the FA Cup, you want this. You're a successful guy, even if you retire now. And I said, no. Because my game, I want to win World Cups. I want to win the league. I want to win Europa League. I want to... and that's something that to work. Because if you relax, if you're in the... Wenger used to say, players that gets into the comfort zone, they're not good enough. We have to get rid of them. And it's true. Because players sometimes say, we won. It's okay now. Next season, easy. That's when you get players in comfort zone. And it doesn't work like that. You always have to win more.
The credit goes to you, and the credit goes to your psychologist, sports psychologist. But if you go way back, to whom do you owe a thank you for persuading you that sports psychology wasn't for somebody who's crazy? Sports psychology was like giving you an extra piece of power in your armory. Who convinced you to give it a try, to start to believe?
Myself. And honestly, as well, a little bit, obviously, this is very internal, but I'm going to tell you to you. I beat my mum, because obviously she was divorced from my dad, and she was a bit low and she was a bit down. And I offered her to go to psychology because she was a bit low. And she said, psychology for crazy people, like I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. And I went once with her to help her to obviously to have a new life, a better life. And from there, kind of like, obviously, and then Arsenal appoint David, which is psychology of the club. And he came, please come to me, come to my office. I will help you when you're not playing. And I thought like, okay, I have a try. It was probably 3-4 years ago. And I was like, wow, this guy is actually good. You know, I never thought, okay, I'm going to do exercise for mental brain. I said exercise for brain. I was like, I'm not crazy. And actually over the years, when I start playing, when I start doing exercise, it's a muscle. And when you do upper body, you work on your arms and your biceps, and say, it feels good afterwards. Well, this is the same thing. The day before the game, in the final, I work an hour probably, or 45 minutes, and I thought, wow, I'm confident, I'm ready, I want to play. And maybe before, it's like, imagine if I don't play well in the final, what people will say. But top professional hides that. They hide it. And I like to tell the people the truth, like what a really professional feels. They probably, obviously not the words, but they probably get scared. Everyone go to the toilet 5 times before the game, but no one like to say that. But if you confidence on your game, you can perform.
Has it changed you, learning these things, has it changed you also as a man? Do they give you things that you can bring into patience or determination in daily life?
No, not really. I always have determination. I always have the hunger. I always have... It's something that is my strength, is how much I want to win things, how much I want this in my life, how much I don't know. I like a game, a Call of Duty, and I play until I die. I love my wife and my kid, and I will love them forever. You know, it's something that I don't change often. And I wanted to be Arsenal number one, and I say it when I was 19, 18. When I go on purpose, I don't stop doing it. That's me. But in between, I'm doing exercise. I'm doing the same thing that I'm doing power in the gym to make me a better goalkeeper. Now I'm doing this exercise last few years in your brain, and it helps me to be even better.
Do you think you've changed the life of your mom and your dad by showing them that all the time that they worried about you when you said, no, I'm determined, it's fine, don't worry about me, leave me, I'm a grown-up now. And now, I guess they always trusted you, but now they see you with millions of audience playing really well for weeks, and a medal. Do you think you've changed their lives by what you've done?
No, not really, because we all are really humble family, business people, and they knew that was going to happen at some point. They knew my talent. They knew how much I worked for. And when I done it, they said, you done it. That's what you were working for. So they were not surprised. So they were not like, okay, now everyone knows that more. Not really, because they knew how much I worked and they knew that that moment would come. And I knew as well.
It's a beautiful thing to listen to this kind of certainty. I guess what I want to ask now a little bit is that when we've had guests on this, I don't know if you've been in England long enough to remember Kevin Kilbane playing for Blackburn and for Ireland and for Everton. And Kevin is now a commentator. And he told us about how when he was young and growing up in Lancashire, there were weekends when he didn't have food, they didn't have electricity. They used to take a 50 pence piece and wrap wire around it and put it into the meter to get electricity, but then the wire would pull the 50 pence piece back out again because they didn't have enough money to pay for the electricity. When you talk about how tough things were for your parents, try and give people some understanding about what the struggle was like and also why it was like that, because most of our audience haven't been to Buenos Aires or Argentina and therefore they can't compare.
I'll explain. I'm from Mar del Plata. It's a lovely seaside city. But obviously, people that really know that we lived in a house. Obviously, my mom and dad couldn't afford to have doors. So we lived, me, my brother, the kitchen, my dad and my mom in one room for 4 years until my dad can afford to extend and do a door and move to... We have no toilet. Obviously, we used to walk probably 4 or 5 kilometers to get a bus to go to the school. So me and my brother used to walk since the age of 4 and 6 alone to the school. Because obviously, my mom has to work in cleaning apartments and my dad had to go and it was a truck transport. Obviously, he was getting fish from the ships and transporting to the... A fabric factory, I don't know how you say, and he was just a driver. I used to work 20 hours to get obviously the money, the enough money, and it was his own truck. And it's a story that obviously I left early the school because I was a bit sick, and my dad picked me up from the school and took me to work, and it was raining, and my dad had a truck, it had a hole in the ceiling, and it was pouring rain inside the truck. And it was just a story that one day we used to have just white rice. And I remember it wasn't enough for everyone. So my mom and dad said, we're not hungry. And you and your brother can eat. And I was old enough to understand what was going on. And my mom, when she read that, I said, how can you say that? How can you make us look like... And I said, no, mom, this is... My brother said, this is a reality. People... like, you know, stuff like that, because I didn't born in a golden cot. And everything that, when I went to Buenos Aires, my dad, he was struggling to pay the petrol to come to see me. So I used to borrow money from my friends there in the hotel, asking for some money to get a bus to go to see them to Mar del Plata. It was 4 hours away from Buenos Aires. And I'm proud of how far I become. Now I can buy them wherever we go. 50 trucks. My brother sells fish to different countries. We go a construction company with my brother. My dad got 3 cars. And when I signed for Arsenal, because they were giving me a bonus, it was enough to buy my dad a car. And one of the reasons I wanted to sign, because I was going to get that signing fee to buy the car for my dad. Like, he always wanted to work. You know, it's when I say yes, it wasn't because it was Arsenal, which is one of the biggest clubs in the world. It was because I was going to give them a better life. And it's a lovely story. And that was the first question from you, where the tears come from. I can tell you much more. And it's a long story, you know.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.